and you don't see them working anymore, none of them. Makes me wonder, Mike, they're supposed to be working. I listened to a man today on radio. I looked for a trash can to vomit in, couldn't find one. But he was speaking on the book of James over there, where he said, if any man among you sick, let him call for the elders, and let them anoint him with oil and pray for him, and the power of faith shall raise him up. And he said that wasn't talking about what we see, way we do it now, anoint them with oil. He said what God was meaning there was, you go to a doctor and you take the medicine that the doctor gives you, then pray over him. And you talk about making a fella sick. I believe it means just exactly what it says. I've always believed that. I've seen it practiced. I've seen people heal, and I've seen some that wasn't. God ain't going to heal everybody.
Right.
I've seen a lot of folks prayed for that was not healed. And I've seen a lot of them done prayed for that was healed.
Right.
It's just let God's will be done.
Amen.
And when it's done, me and my wife, I was talking. About whenever she was in the hospital. Now, I've seen several miracles take place when she was in the hospital. I've seen healing, and I've seen some it wasn't healed. But lo and behold, it was not me. It was God. Brother Ralph Lowry said one time in his preaching, he said there was a woman down there at Tuscaloosa, a good saint of God, and said she would go, her men would go and anoint her and pray for her, and said there would be no change. And Ralph said he stole off one time, just got off in the closet, and praying to God. And he said God asked him a question, said, who can I send that will anoint her and me raise her up and them not take the glory? And Ralph said he began to study on that. He said, lo and behold, in about a month, there was a man walked in there and anointed her and prayed for her, and God raised her up. And said that man come out boasting all these other fellas went down there and prayed for him and just didn't have the faith in God. He was taking the glory. And he said, God told him, said, what did I tell you? We just as well to forget all the glory. It belongs to God Almighty.
Right.
Amen. I bless his holy name. I'm telling you right now, this charity thing is, go back to the scripture that was on Sunday morning where he said, if any man asked of him the Holy Spirit, he'd give it to him. Now, I know, and you know too, I don't know how long we'll go, but I know, and you know too, that no man can be saved or woman and be born again without being born of the Spirit of God. It gets you before you get hit. It brings conviction on you. Then when you're converted, you are birthed of that Holy Ghost that this Bible speaks of. But I'm going to tell you something. You are not grown. Now you just think on that a little bit. And you get saved. How much things has changed, Mike, since the day that you were born again? Things that you know now, things that you can do and understand now that you could not then. It's because you're growing in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How much more compassion have you on folks today than you had when you first got born again? When you first got born again, if you seen somebody wasn't doing right, you wanted to cut you down a club and make them do right. But that won't work. It takes God Almighty. Right. Just like a man was talking to me today, how about Brother Terry Pace preaching that revival over yonder last week, and he said he didn't preach like he did down at Black Oak when you had him down there. I said, the difference is the crowd of people that he was preaking to. Amen. God bless your heart. I'd talk to Terry on Monday after he'd preach Sunday night. Amen. And I talking to him, and he said, they're lost. The church is lost. You can tell by looking the way they're acting. They're lost. And he said, I can't preach to them. He said, I first got to try to get them born again. Then you can preach to them. And that man didn't seem to understand. You can't get out here in a prison and get in these people to send jail and tell them how sorry they are. They already know that. Amen. What they need to be told is somebody to have enough compassion and charity and love about them, how to go in there and tell them that there is a way out of their troubles. I'm going to say that there is a way how that we can get back again one more time to God until God will work for us. Amen. Thanks be unto God just to show you. Hey, God, we remember reading one time in the Word of God where there was a man headed down, I believe, to Jericho, and he fell among thieves. And the Bible said they robbed him, beat him, and left him for dead. Thanks be unto God. And the Bible said the priest, or a Baptist, whatever you want to call it, passed by on one side, or a Methodist, Church of God, or Holiness, whatever he was, passed by on the other. I didn't have no charity about him. Thank God, but here was this Samaritan. A lot of people said the good Samaritan. But the Bible said a certain Samaritan passed by. And you know what? A Samaritan was somebody that was despised by the Jews. Thank God, but he had enough charity in his heart to stop them and get off of his animal and get down in that ditch, amen, and doctor him and get him up and carry him to the end. That's what we are missing in the day we're in today, is the compassion for people that stripped and wounded and left for dead. I'm not getting on nobody's case. I'm just saying that's where we are. Amen. We're living in a generation today that seems to think all they is to being a child of God is being at the church house every time the door's open. That takes care of it all. That's good. That's well. God requires us to do that. Forsake not the assembling of yourself together. But they ought to be something on the inside of us. A might that draws us and makes us want to go. Amen. It's going to take, thank God, that Holy Ghost of God. Amen. I just can't get away from that. We're going to have enough of the Holy Ghost of God in us. Amen. Them gifts that God put in the church, He didn't put them in there for the Baptist. He didn't put them for the church of God. He put them there for God's glory. He put them there by the Holy Ghost. And if we ever see them work again, how we going to have how to enter into our closet and carry preach through the night and close the door and ask God done to help us and strengthen us one more time that we can do the will of God.
Amen.
You notice there on the day of Pentecost when they come together. Amen. They were already, I believe with all my heart, I believe they'd been born again. They had been converted. But Bible said when they were gathered there come a sound from heaven as a mighty rushing wind. Oh my, how I'd like to come into Mount Moriah or just any church anywhere or off down in the pine thicket. Like Brother Troy McKinn. I thought about that many a time. About that right there. When Troy said he got down amongst them sweet gum trees and began to pray, said, I never much more begin to pray. He said, I could hear them old limbs and leaves a-waving. You know what that was? It wasn't a thing in the world but a moving of the Holy Ghost of God upon that man. And God, the Bible said they were filled with the Holy Ghost. We've got a denomination today that says if you once you ever get filled with the Holy Ghost and you speak with other tongues, you've got it all. You don't need nothing else. Amen. But I've got news for you. This crowd right here. And let me put this in and see what you think about it. You notice back over there in the old scripture when they were going to build a tower up to heaven. Thank God to where God was. God confounded their language till they could not understand one another. One word they were saying. Thanks be unto God. So they had to separate. You know what happened on the day of Pentecost? God just put that in reverse. Thank God back that day of amen, that tower back up and got people to where they could understand in the language wherein they were born. Amen. God bless your heart. Thank be unto God, but I did God done that. So I believe it was 3,000 souls. Thank God that heard Peter's preaching and asked, what must we do? And he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of the sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for it's promised to you and to your children and all that are far off, and as many as the Lord thy God shall call.
Yes.
Now we know they got full of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. But would you just read on when they done the miracles and they begin to threaten them and they begin to beat them? Oh, we got it all. We don't need. But when they begin to beat them, Bible said in the fourth chapter of the book of Acts, the same bunch of men. In the fourth chapter of the book of Acts, same bunch of men come together in a room and close the door. Shut to the door to pray. Amen. And said, God grant thy servants power, that we might preach the word of God with boldness, that power of signs and power of wonders be done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible said when they got through praying, the place wherein they were all shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Twice.
Amen.
Now, I have discussed this with several preachers. I told Terry over last Wednesday night, I said, I'm thinking very seriously about preaching on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He looked at me from fun. I said, but not by the evidence of speaking in tongues, but by the evidence of charity. That's the greatest gift that God has put on the church. And he talked to me Monday, I guess it was. He was headed to Gurley. He said, did you preach Sunday morning? I said, yes, sir. He said, what did you preach on? I said, I preached on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He said, you preached that message? You mean you were talking about? I said, yes, sir. I said, the very one I preached. He said, that's a good one. And I talked to several. I talked to them in Georgia. I talked to them in Louisiana. I talked to them out of Kentucky. I talked to them out of North Carolina on this very subject. Thank God, Mike, and every one of them, when I began to explain what I was talking about, they all agreed. I said, that's what we need. Again, just one more time, I'd enter into a room and close the door and pray. I forgot to fill us afresh with the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
This is more than just a one-time trip.
Amen.
Hey, sometimes, Mike, you get down. Hey, sometimes, every one of you,
yes,
you get so discouraged. You feel like just throwing it down, just going to the house and said there ain't no use of it. But if you can ever get somewhere and get along with God, He might not make you speak in tongues, turn flips, and pull panning off the wall, but He'll stir your heart and put power back into you to where you can go on another day. You know, this is a day-by-day thing, anyhow. There's a preacher that used to be a preacher that I know. He's quit preaching now. Turned out to be a drunkard. But several years ago, there's a story behind it. How come he was a good preacher? And they had two or three kids, I forget which one it was. But the doctor told him, said, if you ever have another young one, said it's going to do something to your wife's body and she's going to go as nutty as a fruitcake. Well, they went ahead, Tommy, and had another young one, and she went nutty. And he got discouraged. He quit preaching. I got some CDs at the house. Listened to one of them other night. And you talking about preaching. That young man preached. But here's the thought that I'm getting at. My wife will tell you the same thing up at camp meeting. Had an old girl, probably 10, 11 year old. And I've seen her stand and testify. And man, I'm telling you what, you could just feel the hair stand up on your body. Just that young of a child. I mean, she would testify, walk them aisles, and let down just as gun barrel straight as it could be laid down. And then Brother Milby talked about that. And he said, "I have one thing, Brother Shaver, I'm afraid of." He said, "I'm afraid somebody's going to talk her into preaching, make her think that she's been called to preach because she can testify." Hadn't heard nothing of them in several years, but here a while back I was talking to Brother Milby. And I don't know her name, but I told him who it was. And I said, "Where's she at now and what's she doing?" He said, "She's married now and got some kids," and said she's still standing and testifying just like she always did, still living for God, just like all. Though Daddy had turned out to be a drunkard, growed a beard, and looked like all get out, won't even answer his phone. You try to phone him, talk to him heavy, he won't even answer the phone. God bless your heart. But what I'm saying is, though Daddy went under, I don't reckon neither one of them ever did marry again or anything, but they just separated. God bless your heart. But what I'm saying is, God stayed with them young kids. Oh my, how we need it in the day we're in today, as a baptism of a Holy Ghost afresh on every one of us. Preacher, why didn't you just make a holiness preacher? I hope I am one. Amen. God bless your heart. This is what this Bible is about. It's about the Spirit of God working in the church. It's not us, but it's God. I want to read just for a few verses of Scripture and we'll try to hush. I don't feel the best in the world. Come might not just about that close and not even coming tonight. But I'm glad now that I did. But we need the gifts of God again. But let's read in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 and read a few verses, then we'll hush up. Oscar told me yesterday that he's got studying on. He's going to try to help me preach this out. There's too much in it, in these gifts. Amen. Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 27, "Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular." Now you listen. This is not what the Baptist done, the wholeness done, or no other. And God has set some in the church first, apostles. Secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healing, help, government, and diversities of tongues. Now you notice how God set them. And if I'm reading that right, that diversity of tongues at least, ain't it? Am I reading that right? Now, but you listen to what God said down in verse chapter 13. "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal." Now I can get up, according to that right there, and put off all the show that I want to put off. If I ain't got charity, I ain't got nothing. I was preaching one time up at camp meeting. And preached one morning, Michael Garrison was there, and some Church of God preacher was sitting there on the bench with him. And I don't have no idea, I preached many times, I have no idea what I preached. But he come to me, Mike, and said, "But some real good preaching." But he said, "Now here's what charity will do for you." He said, "But there's one thing wrong. I've had a towel, had a clip, you know, keeping popping out there." He said, "That clip that you've got on your tie. I said, is that all that's bothering you? I just reached up, pulled it off, and one of them snap on top. Then I snatched it off, tucked my pocket. I said, there we go, we got to it, we took care of that. You know what? I don't want to wear a tie. I didn't want that stuff at that time. Sit one time and guess and just show you how people are. Not looking at spiritual things. But we're sitting in a church in Gadsden, Alabama, probably 30 years ago. And this man was up preaching, and Buddy, Don, I mean, he was really ripping it up one side and down the other. And there's a man sitting back there about like where Tommy's sitting at, had on a necktie. I better walk back there to where he was. And he flipped that necktie and told that man that pride that put that tie on you this morning going to send you to hell. Now can you imagine something like that? But he got his tater cooked right quick. That fella said, hey, that same pride that put that tie on me this morning shines your shoes for when you come here. He hushed up about the necktie and they went on. We had a meeting. Preach one time over, just show you what. I'm talking about charity. When you get something like that, if it's a bothering somebody, if it ain't got necessary, leave it alone. I was preaching over to Mississippi one Sunday morning, and I got tight. I guess a little too tight, I don't know. But it made the pastor mad. Boy, I made him mad. And done all my life, ever since I've been started shaving, I'd always wear sideburns down around the bottom of my ear. That's just the way it was. Got pictures at the house, me younger, had sideburns. I never thought nothing about it. Made the preacher mad, and he got up, and he got on my sideburn. Know what I done? When I got over jamming him, he had him set. If my eating meat offend my brother, I'll eat no more meat as long as the world stands. I don't have to have them things. What I'm getting at is having the charity of God to help our brethren. Oh, man, I haven't got far off now. Got myself in a mess, I guess. But you listen. He asked them in verse 29, are all apostles? Got a question mark at the end of it. Why, no. Are all teachers? Why, no. Are all workers of miracle? Why, no. Have all the gifts of healing? Why, no. Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Why, no. But you look what he said in, but covet earnestly the best gift, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. You can have all them gifts. Have them working. But if you ain't got that charity, you know what? Right there puts every one of us in a pretty close place. Charity. I've done it several times, and I know probably y'all have too, along the way. The Lord speak to you to do something. Sometimes we may do it, sometimes we may not. It's not me. Me and my wife was talking about it yesterday. Over at Bay Springs Marina, probably 30 years ago, we used to go every Saturday morning and eat breakfast over there. Now, they had the best old country ham, gravy, and biscuits that I ever hung a tooth in. Sometimes you'd go in there and it'd be a big crowd. Some, according to what time you got there, sometimes there wouldn't be hardly nobody. But walked in that morning and me and her sat down at the table where we usually sit. And over about three or four tables, there was a man sitting over there with a pair of overalls on, with a white shirt, and them all shirt sleeve buttoned up there, and never did see his face. But God spoke to me just as plain that morning, Dunn, as I'm speaking right now. You pay for that man's breakfast. Well, when the young lady come to bring the coffee or whatever it was, I give her a bigger piece of money than I know what a man's meal was. I said, I'm gonna, God said for me to pay for his breakfast. And I said, what's left over, stick it in your pocket. She said, who is it? I said, I have no idea. But went ahead and ate and left. Then he was still there when we left. Went out, got in the car and left, and they told us next time we go over, said he got up, come up here to pay him, told me done paid for it. Said he went out the door and said we followed him to the door, got to the door, there's no car, no man, no human, no nothing. I'm saying God will pull things on you sometime like that just to see if you'll do what he says. I told my wife, I said, I'd give anything just to know who that man. But, you know, the Bible says, beware in the way you entertain strangers, for thereby many have entertained angels unaware. I ain't forgot. I can see it just as plain, Jenny, as I can see you that many years. God said, pay for it. He never did look around. I've never seen his face. And they said they, when he went out the door, all them people in there run to the door. And when he shut the door, said they opened the door up. Well, no car, no nobody. Bless his name. God will prove you at times. Driving down the road. I'm just telling you some instances that God. Driving down the road one time, and there was a man with a bag on a stick walking up the road on the other side. And I wasn't paying no attention. I just went on by. God said, you turn around, go back and give that man some money. And I turned around, went back, done, pulled up there to him. And I'm talking about being the charity of God. I pulled up there and pulled, I don't remember how much money it was, pulled it out, give it to him. I said, God said for me to give you this. Smile come on his face. He must have been hungry because smile come on his face. I just turned around, went right back, and left him standing. There's times that God will try you. It probably has done everyone either. No, not necessarily that. With something other, he's tried you with. If nothing else, just go by, you see somebody depressed, and show a charity toward them, and say a good word of kindness to uplift them. Amen. Well, I'll just hush on that. I'm in deep enough trouble. But I want to get to the rest of this. Maybe me or Oscar, one or other, or both of us, if you can pray him back out of the bed, but we sure do need him. My health is going down in a hurry. His is going down. But I'm telling you, God can still. Now let me put this on you. This altar right here, I told Oscar the other night that we need to put a sign right up here that says closet. You get what I'm saying? Closet. Well, we can shut it and pray. Now, when he's talking about getting a closet, he may have been talking about a literal closet. I don't know. But anywhere that you can get a hold of God, whether it be in the bed, whether it be sitting in a chair, anywhere that you can get your heart commune with God, you're in the closet with God. So I say it's been good to be here. It's been one of the awfulest messages I guess you've ever heard, but God's power, we need it. And I want to say this. You'll find on day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost fell and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and done all them miracles. You'll find in the fourth chapter when they was in that room, shut up, Holy Ghost was fell, and they were filled. But you know there's lots of things that's not recorded in this Bible that did happen. Done, they may have been 50 times that them disciples got together somewhere. It's not recorded in this book. And when they got beat, discouraged, down and out, and felt like giving up, got somewhere, Tommy, and prayed, and God may have strengthened them, filled them afraid, and get them out. You know that's what we need. You know it. I know it. We all know that we need that right here in this church. Anybody got anything to say?